Hello, a very good Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the latest edition of the Weekend Edition with me, Greg Hughes, here on Highland Radio. Coming up on the programme indeed, we'll get the latest weather update from Metairn to see what the next few days hold. Internet sensation Rory Frostbite McSorley will join me later to discuss his recent rise to fame. We'll discuss the services available to parents of children with autism. A new survey has found 40% of women would consider cosmetic surgery. We'll have more details. The Oscar nominations are out. We'll discuss the runners and riders and who was left out that perhaps should have been in. And on that theme, we're joined in studio by a young fellow. He's one of the voices on the Oscar-nominated film Song of the Sea. And historian Patrick Boner's in studio discussing the, what some would describe as unusual community, the Screamers, who were established in Burton Port 4 decades ago. So lots in there for you. Plenty more to come as well, all between 10 and 12. Your calls, comments and requests, vital and integral part of the Weekend Edition here in Highland Radio. So if there's something you want to talk about, something you want to say, 086 77 00 555 is the text number, or you can call Yvonne on 07491 25000. And if you wish to tweet the programme, you can use the hashtag Weekend Edition or just tweet us directly at Highland Radio. And on Facebook too, it's / Highland Hub. Well, normally I'm joined in studio by someone to review the week's news, but we're giving that a break this week because of the inclement weather and not calling anybody out in such dodgy conditions for some. So I'll go through the papers myself. And as I say, we have loads more coming up on the programme. But first, we're going to look at the papers, as I mentioned, and starting with the Irish Independent. You heard in the news there, double-digit hike in car insurance. We're getting a reduction in diesel prices. We're getting a reduction in petrol prices. And you'd think it was all good news, wouldn't you? But no. Your car insurance is likely to go up because drivers have been warned to expect double-digit hikes in insurance premiums this year. Experts are blaming lawyers for inflating the cost of claims, which is causing premium hikes. And what we know is insurance companies do not absorb these things, do they? They're instantly passed on to the consumer. The prices will come on top of new figures from the CSO showing that car insurance costs shot up by close to 12% in the year to December. Higher insurance costs are countering sharp falls in petrol and diesel at the pumps, as I just mentioned there. So has your insurance gone through the roof? 086 77 00 555. Soft laws on terror suspects open gate to jihadists, the Irish Independent also reads. Ireland is seen as soft on jihadis because of a lack of laws and specialist counter-terrorism police. Islamic extremists have started using Ireland as a base and transit zone after the introduction of new laws that limit their movement elsewhere in the EU, European police agencies have told Gardaí. There was one case yesterday, wasn't there, where someone was be brought before the court, but I believe that turned out to be a case of mistaken identity. Dozens arrested in jihadists' crackdown. That's the top story in the Irish Times Weekend Edition. We were covering this on the news yesterday, but of course the paper is picking it up today. Dozens of suspected terrorists were arrested by police across Northern Europe yesterday as part of a crackdown on jihadism, as Belgium authorities said they'd foiled an imminent attack on Belgium police forces. And when reading that, I couldn't help but think, I'm sure this isn't all new information. I'm sure this all hasn't come to light since the attacks on the magazine in Paris. And you have to ask the question, why was action not taken sooner to prevent such a loss of life if this level of knowledge, this security information was known? Politics also on the front of the Times. Labour told to develop distinct identity from Fine Gael. Labour ministers have been told by Taoiseach Joan Burton's office the party must develop a distinctive identity from Fine Gael. This by emphasising issues such as more cuts to the universal social charge. A new political memo says at the very least the party must emphasise issues such as a minimum wage increase, deeper USC cuts, action on housing affordability and rent regulations. Clearly not priorities in the last 4 years because now is the time they start talking about it. But I think many Labour voters, and it's not unfair to say, would have liked to have heard that party, particularly for what they stand for, raising these issues when budgets were being announced 3, 4, 5 years ago, when people were at the pin of their collar and remain so many. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. Fine Gael's TD U-turn in Dáil Addict Rows, an inside story on the Irish Daily Mail. A Fine Gael TD yesterday expressed some remorse for shouting down a Sinn Féin TD who raised the plight of his homeless drug addict brother in the Dáil. But a Labour TD who sneered that Republican Deputy Jonathan O'Brien should take his brother into his own home as a remedy was keeping a low profile yesterday. The bitter exchange of words erupted when Dublin South Central TD Eric Byrne jibed, "Why does his good family not take him home?" Which is an unfortunate remark, and I think you'd have to be familiar with the full case before making such a remark, but he did in any case, and he's showing some remorse but no apology. If you're watching Big Brother, the Irish Sun has an exclusive. Katie Price has gone into the Celebrity Big Brother house, if you're watching it at all. She's threatening to scratch someone's eyes out, but watched a bit of it last night. She seems as gentle as a lamb, but they all say something going into these things, don't they, and then capitulate pretty soon after. Welfare fraud exclusive, €478,000 Dole cheek cage. This is the fraudster who was jailed yesterday for 5 years after drinking and gambling away almost $500,000 in Dole fraud. This is the people's money too, and we know there's better places for it to be going. Con man David Church, 39, splashed the cash on booze, bets and trips to Britain before cops caught up with him. The Dublin dad of four, who faced 199 charges of unlawfully claiming job seekers allowance and rents allowance, stole a total of €478,000 and 52 cent. On the back of the Sun, Jose Mourinho's at it again in the sports pages. Jose Mourinho's adamant there's a vendetta against him and Chelsea. I'm not sure what his motivation for these outbursts are, but he keeps at it. The Blues boss is already facing an FA rap for claiming there is a concerted campaign against his table toppers, but he refuses to be cowed and moaned. Every decision is going against us and results have been affected by that. So there's Hosey at it again. Also, UFC cover. Conor McGregor is ready to become the next Irish fighting world champion. Boxers Andy Lee, Carl Frampton and Katie Taylor reign, and the notorious plans to join them in UFC. First, he must dispose of Dennis Silver in Boston tomorrow, which a lot of eyes will be on. UFC definitely increasing in popularity in this part of the world. Irish Daily Star Sharon Should Have Got Life. This is labelled as an exclusive. Hitman Issam Aid has said that lying eyes Sharon Collins should have served life for plotting to have lower having her lover and his two sons killed. Ead was shocked that Collins only got a 6-year term, telling the Star she tried to order 3 murders. It should be life. And the Irish Daily Mirror has a distraction of Irina Shayk. Apparently, Ronaldo's dumped her over his mum. Cristiano Ronaldo has split from model Irina. It was claimed yesterday the couple are thought to have rowed over attending his beloved mum's birthday party in Madeira. She didn't want to go, and he dumped her. Is that a good thing? He chose his mother over his girlfriend, and she's rather pretty. 086 77 00 555 if you wish to comment on anything in the newspapers today, or indeed if you want to raise an issue yourself. Something I did notice on the wires, which I want to get to, because if you look out your window today, or if you've already been out in the roads, you will see that it's rather cold. And it's always cold and rainy here. But last year was the hottest on record for Earth. The studies by the US Space Agency NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration indicate a need for immediate action to reduce rising world emissions of greenhouse gases. The data revealed that the 10 warmest years since records began in the 19th century had occurred since 1997. 2014 was the warmest, ahead of 2010 and 2005. Climate change expert Professor John Sweeney of Maynooth University says that we now need to tackle climate change as a matter of urgency.
We have about 2 decades to avoid dangerous climate change. We have a fixed budget which we have to carve up among the countries of the world in order that we must not put the necessary amount of carbon into the atmosphere. And we have to start really taking the problem with a degree of urgency as the greatest problem facing humanity for the 21st century.
And I know it's not looking at the bigger picture, but there is an irony given the cold weather we're experiencing at the moment. Materan's Owen Sherlock, good morning. Thank you so much for sparing the time to talk to us.
Good morning. How are you?
Tell us, what is the weather going to hold for us, as much as we can tell, in the northwest over the next couple of days, Owen?
Well, it's going to be a cold regime in place, really until, I suppose, the middle of next week. There's going to be further wintry showers, so that's anything from hail, sleet or snow, and they're going to be continuing on and off today. More showers overnight, I'm afraid, and tomorrow and Sunday we can expect further wintry showers in place. Quite cold as well during the day, highs of maybe 3 to 5, and at night temperatures are going to plummet to well below freezing over the weekend, so maybe minus 3, minus 4, maybe even minus 5 tonight in places, maybe a degree or so colder on Sunday night. And it looks like later then, as we progress into the start of next week, a band of rain will move in probably late enough on Monday. Unfortunately, that's going to come into contact with quite cold air. So there is the risk of some, you know, further accumulations of snow, particularly in the western half of the country. But unfortunately, the northwest looks like it might get the highest amounts of snow Monday night into Tuesday morning. And it's really Wednesday before any kind of regular southwest of the Atlantic influence kicks in again, with more in the way of rain and slightly higher temperatures. So a lot of cold weather for the next 4 or 5 days, I'm afraid.
Now, a lot of conversation about the weather, Owen, not surprisingly, obviously, but we are in the middle of winter. There's nothing out of the ordinary happening here. We get storms and we get cold weather and we get snow. So it's on par with what we should expect, is it?
I'd agree with that statement 100%. I mean, I think a lot of things now, rightly so, is the media pick up on a lot of these, and that's fine. And sometimes,
well, that's because you did these weather warnings, making it so easy for us now.
It's a new kind of initiative. It brings us in line with the rest of Europe. But I do agree, like a red warning, you know, alarm bells do go off, and fair enough, the media do pick up on it. It's basically based upon the climate of Ireland.
But the bottom line too, Owen, and I support it fully, because, you know, during, particularly when Rachel landed, because we had the publicity that we had through Metair and the various media outlets, maybe it saved those three or four people going out on the road and avoiding, you know, an unnecessary danger. And who's to say it didn't save lives? So I think it's justified.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. I mean, that's what it's in place for. You know, our job is to protect life, limb and property in the Republic. So, I mean, that's what these warnings are for, to give a heads up. Now, obviously, as you know yourself, it can be raining 1 minute in Ireland, particularly the northwest, and then it could be the sun could be splitting the stones the next. So it's quite difficult, a small little island on the east of a massive ocean.
Yeah.
So the models, at the best of times, you know, they can be decent enough. But when these kind of extreme events, you know, any kind of slight deviation from the track of the depression, or even with wind strength, and like further down the west coast, I know some people are unhappy with the red warning. But like all the models are giving signs that those strong winds will continue all the way down from kind of Donegal all the way down to Kerry. It didn't quite pan out like that, even though we did have wind levels that would have reached red level warning that we have set up here. So it's a difficult one, I suppose. It's quite difficult, but that's what they're in for, to give people a heads up. They are warnings, obviously, as you know, it's a forecast. And again, we can't really see into the 2 or 3 days into the future, even 24 hours, 36 hours of time, the models,
they can switch quite quickly.
Yeah, it's just with the Atlantic influence, a track of 50 kilometres would bring the core of the strong winds over, say, towards somewhere like Scotland, particularly for Donegal.
Mm.
So it's a tricky one, so we try and give as much lead time as we can for these warnings.
Well, I think we're getting much better at it, and they are more accurate. I think you had the hit the nail on the head for us anyway. So.
Yeah.
Listen, Owen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Owen Sherlock there of Met Air. And so some cold weather, pretty cold this evening and tonight, and some more snow scheduled quite likely for the start of next week. And that put me in mind when I was chatting to Owen. I didn't want to put him in the spot, but I do recall a Donegal County Councillor and a senior member of the tourism industry in the region complaining and got quite a lot of national publicity for it, that Metairn kept saying and RTE kept saying that bad weather was spreading in from the northwest and west. And he made a complaint because he said it gave the impression that the weather was always terrible up here. But that's... by the by, that's a good time ago now, maybe 15 years ago. 086 77 00 555. It's the weekend edition here on Highland Radio with me, Greg. And Yvonne's taking your calls, 07491 25000. Okay, well, the latest online viral sensation is a young man from the northwest of Ireland. Anyone watching UTV during the week may have seen Rory McSorley being interviewed by a former colleague of mine, Gareth Wilkinson. Well, during that incident, or during that interview, should I say, Rory, well, you can explain. What did you say to Gareth, Rory?
Well, good. We were just sitting in the car waiting to get a wee skirt onto the school there, and then just a sin, the television people there, and then just I was going to jump out, and then the man was trying to lock the carriage because she probably knew this was what was going to happen. But then we went then, and we jumped out in front of the car, and we just says then, could I get on and do a wee bit of scowling about the snow?
We'll hear now what you had to say.
It was a wintry walk to school in Part Village. But they're a hardy breed in these parts.
Well, the demolish says we had to go anyway. We hadn't much of a choice in the matter, but sure.
It's a cold journey to school this morning.
Oh, good, you wouldn't belong getting frostbite.
You could get frostbite. That's the bit that seemed to have caught people's imagination. Is that a normal phrase that you use?
Oh, well, God, I was just making the comment there that you could have been very well frostbite or pneumonia, or a chill in your back, or anything.
Now, Rory, you have a fantastic accent.
Oh, do you reckon?
And it's a local accent, but there are those further afield who think you're putting it on.
Well, so there is, all right. They wouldn't be thinking that if they'd seen the social circles I was mixing and put it like that.
How do you mean?
Oh, God, I have plenty of experience with the oil buddies.
Now, you're a bit of an impressionist too, aren't you? You've already posted a few videos online, haven't you?
Oh, well, back in my day, that's right. I that was a winner once, says that I was good at ticking the people off, so I put the camera in front of myself and then just did that there. That was a winner years ago, all right, aye.
Did you ever have a go at Daniel O'Donnell?
Oh, cook, how are you doing? It's Daniel. What's the crack? I'm not so bad. Well, what else would Daniel say now?
I'd just say, lovely Donegal, I don't know. comedian.
Oh, I'm very affectionate of my own home, Donegal. Or would he sing a wee song or something? Oh, he might do that. Huh? I just stepped in to see you. You know what I mean, anyway.
I'll tell you, you're a born entertainer. So some people, you know, go viral. They don't know what's going to going to happen, and they don't necessarily like the attention. Rory, you love it, do you?
Oh, God, sure, stacks of crack. Oh, no. But, God, there'll be a brave bit more attention the night now whenever we're on the Saturday night show. Now we're going on to old television now the night just to talk to old Brenton O'Connor.
And what's your feelings about that live on RTE, your first time, no doubt?
Oh no, it's never live on the television. And the great thing is, they'll not be able to cut me out. I tell you, now, as many people were saying, as hilarious as the UTV thing was, see, in truth, the bits that they put on was the most sensible bits.
I know, we'll have to wait for the outtakes. So, Rory, what's the future hold for you? You obviously have a fantastic personality. You have a great sense of humour. We know in the past you've been posting videos online of your impressions and that type of thing. You're only 16 years of age. What do you want to do into the future?
No, I'm 18.
18, I beg your pardon. It was 16 when you did the YouTube.
It was 16 back at the time. When
So what do you want to do now that you're an adult? What does the future hold for you?
Well, that's what I was just saying, Aquila. I just thought we'd maybe like to. Everybody just says that we would be a grand man for going on the television, so we'd maybe like to do that.
What are we talking, Next Factor? Britain's Got Talent?
Well, God, this is what I was thinking, you see. The X Factor. Now, if you have somebody that's Irish, right, then they'll be getting the votes, no doubt, north, south, east and west. So that's a big clatter of votes. And if you have somebody that's an idiot, they'll be getting the votes from everywhere just to annoy old Simon Cowell. So I think, as an Irish agent myself, I would have the full package.
you wouldn't be afraid of the attention you'd get, no?
Oh, not at all.
And has this done much for your love life, Rory?
Well, that was what your boy, that other boy in the wireless was asking me there just then. That's what I was saying to him, but it was more of a... As it's the love baits now, we'll need to watch and not the frost baits.
Good man. Listen, it's been a pleasure chatting to you, Rory. You're on the Saturday show tonight with Brendan, what's his name?
Right. Okay, sure, that'll be. That'll break your own station up in the middle of all them grand death notices.
Okay, Rory McSorley, good luck and thanks very much.
Hey, no bother. What was your name again?
Greg. Greg.
Aye, great. Greg, good luck to you.
Good luck, Rory.
Talking to you.
You too. We'll chat again.
Aye, that's great. Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
Right, now time for something completely different because a new Donegal artist collective, Art of Resistance, are publicly launching the new collection on January 22nd. It's at the Regional Cultural Centre in Letterkenny. And the launch event will introduce the collective and include a screening of a film, Apples of the Golan, documentary about life in the occupied Golan Heights between Israel and Syria. It'll be followed by a talk by the directors of the film and a questions and answers session. But we're going to talk generally about this collective of Donegal artists now with Fadhil Mustafa. A very good morning to you, Fadhil.
Good morning, Greg.
So tell us how this came about, this movement, I suppose you could call it, why it was established and its history.
Well, it was, I suppose, to start off with, is I want to thank you first for putting me on because this is exactly the aim of the organization is to bring awareness to cultivate awareness on promoting discussion about human rights abuses, people under occupation, people under oppression, to highlight in particular the struggle and the strife of the Palestinian people and their culture. This group came about through the efforts of one person in particular who organized an event last year after the assault, the horrific assault on Gaza. She organized it in Remelton in the town hall. It was called the Candle for Gaza. And through the TV, through the showings of the horrific showings on the TV, she thought that the best approach is to bring more awareness to the struggle of the people who are under oppression, under occupation. And she thought that it's not just enough for just 400 people to just come to an event and just donate money. What's more important is to do more action, to act and to bring awareness and to promote it and to also highlight the fact that it's not only the Palestinian people who are under oppression, there's a lot of others under oppression and it needs to be brought forward into people's faces.
And into their consciousness. But let's talk about that for a moment, Fadhil, because we are all very aware of the awful scenes that we witnessed on the TV cameras, but it was when the TV cameras were there, then the next story broke or it slipped off the agenda. But it's still happening. It's an everyday occurrence. There are people living in very difficult conditions now as we speak. And with the best will in the world, it's fantastic to have awareness campaigns like this. But we almost have to reflect on ourselves as a race, a human race, as to why it can slip from our mind so easily?
Well, I think the reason, the main reason it's slipping, it's because it's not highlighted, it's not covered by mainstream media. People are neglecting the fact that there are people who are dying as we speak every day in the Palestinian occupied territories through Israeli aggression and through not only Israeli aggression but also the fact that, you know, 80,000 people lost their house in Gaza during the horrific assault last year, and people are still dying of the after effects. People are dying of hunger. People are dying of the cold. The cold weather is not only here just in Ireland. We're so lucky that we have our homes, our heatings indoors, but people in Gaza are dying because they don't have that. They don't even have shelters. They don't even have ceilings, roofs over their heads. Mm. Children are dying. People are starving. Old people are dying. You know, it's that's why I want to thank you, because it is bringing awareness. You know, you're the first person that brought us on the radio, I think we need more people like yourself.
Well, we also covered the Candle for Gaza event. I think it's important that these discussions happen and that people can listen to it, and then everyone's entitled to make their own judgment call and make their own decisions, but at least once the information has been furnished, people are able to do that, maybe better informed.
Exactly, exactly. And the only way to be better informed is to bring to bring it into the forefront and to show people exactly what are people who are under occupation, under oppression, are going through on a daily basis.
Now, let me ask you about the title Art of Resistance. Now, resistance almost has a, historically, sort of, you know, it's associated almost with conflict, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the title Art of Resistance? Because to me, it was, you know, it's like the resistance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, resistance, you know, that's the misfortune of people's misconception about the word resistance. We're not really resisting through violence, we're resisting through peaceful means, mm-hmm. through art, and through organization of art exhibitions and events and screening of films. People have the right to resist. If they're under oppression and under occupation, they have the right to resist. And I'm not promoting resistance through violence, of course.
Yes. I'll tell you what the point I was trying to make is, and I didn't do it very well. I was wondering, did the title sort of point to politics or politicizing the issue? And was that the aim or the goal, or is that something
not
you wish to avoid?
Not at all.
Okay.
Greg. We are not politically affiliated with any party. We're just a group of artists that have come together. And our intention is to use art as a means of communication.
Now, tell us then about the events of January the 22nd, because this is really one of the focal points of the movement, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we were very lucky that the RCC have invited us to co-host this event with them. The event is going to be the screening of documentary Apples of the Golan, which is directed by two Irish directors, Keith Walsh and Jill Birdsworth, and it's about the life under occupation in the occupied Syrian Golan Heights, and in particular the village of Majdal Shams. I believe there are people who are living in Ireland who have served in the Irish Army and served in the Golan Heights and know the area very well. And it deals with the remaining villages of, you know, there are only five remaining villages out of 136 villages that were before the 1967 war. And it deals with the families and the community trying to strive to retain their heritage while maintaining a livelihood through a political turmoil. But it also captures the effects of the civil war in their ancestral homeland in Syria, which is happening as we speak at the moment.
It's so multi-layered, isn't it? It's like one layer on layer on layer.
Exactly, it is. It's, you know, it deals with people who are under occupation. It deals with their daily lives. It deals with how they struggle on a daily basis and how they try to make a life out of what they have. Mm. This talk about freedom of expression, I think people are forgetting that what's more important is freedom of life, dignified life, human life. And people probably, because of the lack of the mainstream media's focus on this, people are putting it in the back of their minds. And people are,
well, out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, if it is exactly what you said.
Okay, so how do people can get along, I presume, can they, to the Regional Cultural Centre on January 2nd, 22nd in Letterkenny? Is that?
Yes, there's no prior bookings necessary. You can walk in into the RCC. Mm-hmm. It's a free admission. There'll be refreshments during the night. There'll be a very interesting talk with the directors, and also the audience can also participate with their comments and feedback. And I believe as well, like I said, there are two main characters who are living in Letterkenny who had served in the Golan Heights.
Right.
Hopefully will be there as well. So,
and maybe we can get a chat to one of those closer to the time.
Definitely.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you. I presume people can Google or search with the preferred search engine, Art of Resistance. They can hook up then with the Facebook page if they want more information.
We are on Facebook. They can go through the RCC Facebook as well, and they can go through our Facebook as well, which is Art of Resistance Collective. And they can follow us, and hopefully a lot of people will come on board on this, a lot of artists with the like-minded people like us, hopefully, to come and participate and act and do something about the things that are happening in other places, hopefully.
And Fadl, finally, what's your background?
My background? Well, I am Palestinian, as you can clearly say, or sense from my passion about the Palestinian issue. I am Palestinian by origin.
Is it difficult to live outside the area and to see what's going on
but then perhaps having the conference, and everyone's entitled to the conference, but does it? Do you struggle with that at all?
Yes, of course. I struggle on a daily basis. I struggle of the fact that I am a Palestinian refugee.
Yeah.
It's a double-sorted edge, you know. So first of all, it gives me no basis of a homeland, number one, but it also gives me the foresight and the opportunity to feel my home is where I am. And I think Donegal now is where I am, and this is my home with my family. But it's a daily struggle of not having a base for myself and for my family, you know.
Okay, Fadhel, we could talk forever, but we're tight on time. And best of luck with the whole project, particularly with January 22nd. And I'm sure we'll talk again in the future.
Thank you, Greg. And let me just say, please, that this is only the first and initial launch of Irish Resistance. There'll be many more events, hopefully, focusing on occupation, and not only the Palestinian occupation, and not only the physical occupation, but hopefully also the mental occupation.
I think it's going to certainly gather steam and become a big thing. And we appreciate you speaking with us now, Fadhel. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure.
And I love your choice of music, by the way, David Bowie.
Did you like
Absolute
that?
Absolute Beginners. It's just so fitting of our organization as well. We are all beginners, but hopefully, you know, we will manage to do something at the end of it, hopefully.
Indeed. Fingers crossed, Fadhel. Thank you so much. Fadhel Mustafa there, who's the event organizer and co-founder of Art of Resistance. Just something a little different for you if you want to go along to the Regional Arts Centre on the 22nd. And a lot of, I think, what he's saying there will resonate with people in this area too, perhaps. 086 77 00 555. We're live and interactive here every Saturday morning with you. Text the programme. You can call us too, 07491 25000. Yvonne waiting to take your call. More texts in on Rory. Just goes to show we can switch topics here on the weekend edition. Best 5 minutes of radio ever. That's a star in the making. Greg was stuck for words. Well, you don't get that too often with me, in fairness, but it's hard to get a word in edgeways with Rory. Some people shouldn't be so quick to judge Rory on his accent, says a caller. He's a very funny, genuine guy who will go far. And who would not want someone to achieve their goals and to achieve success if that's what they want? I'd never stand in the way in any case. Right, we have to catch up on an ad break now. We'll be back with more on the Weekend Edition after the break. Now, we are going to discuss new research into Irish women's body attitudes. And to do so, we're joined on the programme now by Naomi Clark, owner of the Style Fairy. Good morning to you, Naomi.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to chat to you. We'll talk a little bit about the Style Fairy a little later on, but straight on to this study. It found that over half of Irish women are unhappy with their body shape. Is that a statistic that surprised you, Naomi?
To be honest, no, it didn't really surprise me. My business is personal shopping, so I'm dealing with women every day going shopping, and I find that a lot. I mean, no matter what your shape or size, we all seem to have our body hang-ups or something that we're really not that happy with.
Do we know where that stems from? Is it peer pressure from other women? Is it from men? Is it from magazines? Why can people or more people not be happy in their skin?
It's a mixture of everything. It's a mixture of what we're seeing in magazines and what we're seeing in the media in general, from celebrities, from movie stars and stuff. And it's also from other women. And you know, Irish women were very, very hard on ourselves. And I suppose it all comes down to having a lack of confidence, I suppose, is the main thing that happens to us. And we just feel generally quite unhappy.
And what is the key issue women have with their appearance?
It can actually vary. I mean, about 30% of people were unhappy with their actual size. Which I suppose in many ways, you know, is something that you can address through diet and exercise. But what was interesting was a further 30% were actually unhappy with their body shape. And that's a particularly difficult thing, because no matter whether you've got weight on or you're underweight, whatever is happening at the time, your body shape is your shape. So that's what kind of my point is that I'm trying to make is women really need to learn to embrace their body shape.
So and do you think the issue when we talk about body shape, and you are a stylist, mm-hmm. are we talking about women standing in front of a mirror clothed with the wrong clothes, perhaps arguably, that they're wearing for their body shape, or perhaps not, you know, showing off their best features? Or are we talking about people, do you think, standing in a mirror, in front of a mirror, without clothes when they talk about not liking their shape?
Both. I mean, in terms of the first point, I suppose, to address or to identify your body shape, they say that it's really good to stand in front of a mirror in tight-fitting black clothes, and you can really see where the curves and where the lines are. It's so important if you can identify what your best bits are. I think as women, we have an awful habit of easily identifying what we're not happy with. So when with a client, we're standing in a changing room, quite often women say, oh, I hate it because my bum is so big, I can't look at my arms. They're unable to see what is working and what is really good. So it's about trying to shift our mindset a little bit and trying to hone in what is working, what is good about your body shape, and enhancing that part. So it might be a case that, okay, yeah, you're not dying about your bum or your hips, but wow, you've got a really small waist. Let's focus in on that. Let's wear clothes that will really flatter that shape. Do you know what I mean?
And, but that's where people need the help, though, because you can go into a shop and look around and they're all are these different clothes that are there. But that's why people come to you, I suppose, Naomi, because what is that item, as an example, and I'm not necessarily looking for an answer, that does show off your waist? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, if we're saying waist, for example, it can be wearing clothes that are nipped in nicely at the waist. It can be as simple as putting on a little skinny belt around a dress so you highlight your waist. And for women, we say, who are maybe very big busted, there's lots of tips and tricks that they can do. So that's wearing deep V-necks, wearing round necks, avoiding polar necks or anything too high up. So it's deflecting attention from what we don't want people to really hone in on and drawing the eye to what we do want people to look at. So it's learning the little, you know, tips and tricks that you can do yourself. It's not, you know, getting a new wardrobe. It's little tips and little things that can change your appearance drastically.
Yeah, exactly. And you're talking about little things. One of the findings in this survey, which I was personally surprised at, is that people are not looking to do little things. They'd be prepared to do very drastic things. 40% would consider cosmetic surgery. That points to a real lack of self-confidence, or at least, you know, a goal of perfection.
It really does. I was actually quite shocked by how high that number was. Now, I mean, obviously, cosmetic surgery is something that is becoming more and more mainstream all the time. And it's a very personal choice and people do it for so many various reasons. But I was quite shocked to see how many people would go for it. I think it's such a drastic measure to take when there are quite a lot of steps that can be taken through your style and through clothes and how you wear your clothes and what you wear and what you put together. Even something like colour. Like, colour has a huge impact. If you're wearing the right colours for you, your skin looks better, your eyes look better, everything can appear much better. So small things can help. Another thing I think which really showed a sort of lack of confidence maybe in many ways, one of the questions in the survey was asking people what they weren't happy with. And I think it was something almost 70% were least happy with how their stomach looked and their tummy. And that's a common issue. But the question after that was, well, what part of your body are you most happy with? And many people got back to me afterwards. I have a blog and many of the readers came back to me saying they really struggled to actually answer that question.
That's what it's sort of, we're going in a circle here, because that kind of was what I was looking to at the start. It's unfortunate, and we're all the same, don't get me wrong, but it's unfortunate that we feel so much pressure that we've been, reduced confidence-wise so far that we can't simply pick out something that we'd like about ourselves. And that's really what jumped out of me above everything else.
Absolutely. I mean, people rated their eyes as the physical feature that they were most happy with. It came out on top with nearly one quarter saying their eyes are the feature they're most happy with. And in many ways, that's probably a cop-out, you know.
Yeah.
There were very few people stating they really loved their tummy or, you know. So So, but it was really interesting. People said, God, I can't believe I struggled so much to answer that question. They were even surprised at themselves.
Yeah, Naomi, I wish we had more time. Naomi Clark of the Style Ferry. Your business, it's an Irish business, and it offers... Well, you describe it for us and how people can get in contact with you.
Well, my website is thestyleferry.ie. You can find me there. I have a blog and I write daily on various topics across fashion, what's in trend, what's in the shops. And I also offer services such as personal shopping and wardrobe detoxing, which is where I come to your home and go through your wardrobe
you. Yeah, because we do know it's almost 100% of people have items that they never wear.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Loads of clothes but nothing to wear is the statement I hear all the time.
Naomi, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for coming on the programme.
Thanks a million. Take care. Thanks.